Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Over here in Romans chapter 4, let me show you a couple other verses. In verse 15, it says, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. The law is what released the wrath of God. And now the law has been fulfilled in Christ, and we are not supposed to be living under that any longer. Romans chapter 6, verse 15, it says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. No, I'm not saying we don't sin, but this does make an important statement that we are not under the law, but under grace. Romans chapter 7, verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were ill. We are delivered from the law. We aren't under the law. Hebrews chapter 7. I'm just going to read some of these very quickly. But in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. And it goes on and quotes these scriptures about how that the law is changed. In verse 18, it says, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The word disannulling, the word annul, if you annul a marriage, it means it's just as if it never happened. It's like you never got married. The word disannul is an overstatement. If something is annulled, it's just like it never happened. The word disannul means an absolute abolishment, destruction. The law doesn't even exist for the believer today. There still is a purpose for an unbeliever, but for the believer, the law shouldn't even be in your consciousness. You shouldn't even be relating to God, thinking on the basis of, have I done this and done this and done this? That's an Old Testament law mentality, and it just counters all of that. There's so many scriptures. In verse 28, it says, for the law maketh man high priest, which had infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore, showing that there is a separation between the Old Testament law and the New Testament grace. In chapter 8 and verse 6, but now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, talking about Jesus, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This is a quotation from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning with verse 31. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. That's been interpreted that all Jews are going to be born again. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about that every born again person isn't going to have somebody tell them about the Lord and them just learn it intellectually. But every born again person will experience the Lord for himself, have a personal relationship. They will all know him personally. It won't be just something you hear other people talk about. In verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Man, that is totally contrary to what most of us believe. Most of us believe that every time you sin, well, no wonder you're sick. No wonder God hadn't answered your prayer. You aren't holy. And we believe that God is imputing sin unto us. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. We have been redeemed from this. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing man's trespasses unto them. For the first 2,000 years, God didn't impute man's trespasses. Then there was the law where he did impute it. And now, since the time of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing man's trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled unto God. We are supposed to be doing the same thing Jesus did, not imputing man's trespasses unto them. And yet most ministers today are saying, God's going to get you for that sin. God's going to take it out of your hide. You won't get a prayer answered. God's judging you. God's going to judge America because we aren't all of these things. People are saying if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because we are ungodly. But the truth is, if God did judge America, he'd have to apologize to Jesus. Because he's put our wrath and our punishment upon Jesus. So does this mean, some of you are thinking, so does this mean that we can just go live in sin and do whatever? And no, we're in the process of destroying ourselves. Every time you yield to sin, you are allowing Satan to come in to steal, kill, and to destroy. And America is in the process of being destroyed. We cannot last long with the value system that we have. You go back in history, every culture that has ever started embracing the immorality and the ungodliness that we are embracing has not lasted long. Unless there is a major change in this nation, we are in the process of destroying ourselves. But God isn't doing it. God's not judging us. God's not the one that's punishing us. He placed our punishment upon Jesus. You still need to live holy, but not in order to be accepted by God, but in thanksgiving because of the goodness of God. If you would ever understand that God is a good God and understand that we've been redeemed from this Old Testament law and God is not judging us and God's not striking people with leprosy and God's not making your children sick because you did something wrong and he's punishing you and God's not the one who's letting you die because you haven't been reading your daily Bible readings and praying and going to church or paying your tithes. If you were to ever understand how good God is, you'd serve God more accidentally than you've ever served him on purpose before. You would be so excited about God that you'd wind up living holier than you've ever lived before, and there would be no torment, no fear with it. You would serve God out of love and not out of fear. Brothers and sisters, there's a difference between the Old Testament law. And if we don't understand that, then this Old Testament law is against the promises of the New Testament. This is exactly what Jesus talked about when he said you can't take an old patch and put it on a new garment because when you wash it, it'll tear and it'll break it. Or you can't put new wine in an old wineskin because as it ferments, it'll burst. He wasn't talking about agriculture and how to take care of your clothes. He was using those as examples that to people saying, you know, that we used to fast and we did all this stuff. He says, look, it's a new covenant. You can't take the old and put it on the new. You can't put the new on the old. It just doesn't fit. They're incompatible. The Old Testament law wasn't bad. It was necessary to shut us up and to make us realize our sin so that we would quit being self-righteous and we would come to God. But once you've come to God, the purpose of the law has been fulfilled. And if you try and relate to God based on your own goodness and how well you're performing, it's a new patch on an old garment. It's new wine and an old wineskin. It doesn't fit. You can't live that way. It's what's making the Word of God of none effect. Many of us say, oh, God loves me and God is faithful, but then we turn right around and I know I've sinned and therefore God couldn't bless me. That's old covenant. You need to realize we got a new covenant. And I tell you, that is just a small portion of the truths that are in this book on the true nature of God. I encourage you to get this because, man, you need to understand the things that I've talked about. And there's not one out of 1,000 Christians that understands we're under a new covenant. They mix the two together and it pollutes it. They don't mix. It's like oil and water. They just don't mix. You can't mix the old covenant and the new covenant. This is why Paul got into trouble, because Paul was preaching a new covenant. Paul was preaching the grace of God, and the legalistic Jews, the Christian legalistic Jews of his day, were out to kill him. It's the same thing today. We got a lot of legalistic Christians who are just incensed at what I've said. And yet, I've used hundreds of scriptures. It just is amazing to me how people, man, I'm quoting scripture, and what they're doing is quoting doctrine and tradition. And yet, it's just so ingrained in people that they can't change. Praise the Lord. I tell you, if you'll receive what I've talked about today, this could change your life. And it hasn't answered all of your questions, I'm sure of that. If you have been a good religious person, you got a lot more religious traditions and doctrines about the law than what I've been able to deal with today. But if nothing else, if you would take these things and begin to search them out, I think you'll find out that the Scripture bears this out. And it would change your relationship. This was something that was necessary for me to do because I was raised under this law and I just had a sin consciousness, a sense of unworthiness, and it was a major change to be able to grab hold of this. And I tell you, it changed my life. I believe it'll work for you. Amen? Let me say that if you aren't born again, then you aren't under this new covenant. The only way to enter the new covenant is through Jesus. If you have not passed from death unto life, if your spirit hasn't been changed, then you are under the law. And even though God is merciful to you right now, there is coming a day that His wrath and His judgment will fall. And I tell you what, the only way to exit this wrath and judgment is through Jesus. He is the mediator of the covenant. He's the door to the covenant. You've got to go through Him. If all you're doing is just believing, well, I believe that there's a God and I believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But if you haven't made a personal commitment to Him, the wrath of God still abides on you, is what John chapter 3 verse 36 says. If any man believe not, he shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-158 titled Split Personality when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net.
Let me just encourage you one more time that if the Lord has spoken to you today and you realize that all you've got is just a religion, but you don't have a personal Savior, you haven't experienced God, your heart hasn't been changed. You know, I'd like to ask you to not only get these materials that we're offering, but to please call and let the people on our helpline guide you into this relationship with the Lord. The Bible says that if you don't confess Jesus before man, He won't confess you before His Father. There needs to be some type of a commitment in front of other people. You can call our helpline and people will help you. So please call and tell them you want to pray to make Jesus your personal Lord.